Hello and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Patrick Rice. I'm here with my good friend and brother in Christ, Dan Demite.
Yo, what's up, Patrick?
Dude, today we have on the show with us another giant of our faith in the church, Dr. Mary Healy. She's a professor at Detroit Sacred Heart Major Seminary, and she has done so much work for the kingdom on healing. So we're going to be talking about healing, her testimony, and there's going to be an open door of heaven over every listener right now. Dan, can you lead us in prayer?
That just sounds like power. Let's begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for that open door. We pray for an open heavens right now, that your grace would fall down upon us. We pray, Lord, that you would hold nothing back, that we would be made more hungry, that we'd hunger for your grace, we'd hunger for your love, we'd hunger for your healing, Lord. We pray, Lord, that in our hearts, any complacency or apathy, any despair, any wounds from the past, Lord, that we would be ready just to be hungry for healing, Lord, that you would overshadow us with your spirit, and that you would reign deeply in our lives right here, right now.
Father, we praise you. We thank you. We thank you for Jesus. You put a face on the Father, and our job is to put a face on Jesus. Father, I pray that everyone here that listens today would see Jesus as the model of the normal Christian life, Lord. It's not anyone else but you, Jesus. So, Lord, let us have a desire to live like you, to walk like you, to love like you, to heal like you, to deliver like you. And, Father, just we pray. We're just hungry for you, Lord. And we just pray all these things in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
So, oh my gosh, this is awesome. So, Mary, welcome to the show. Okay, I'm going to brag about you for a minute, okay? And I want you to receive it, everyone. Okay, so this is Dr. Mary Healy. She is, like I said, full professor of theology at Detroit Sacred Heart Major Seminary. Okay, and check this out, dude. In 2014, she was appointed by Pope Francis to the Pontifical Biblical Commission.
Wow.
Come on, man. Yeah.
Hey, congratulations,
Doctor. And by the way, Mary, Pope Francis kissed my baby. So we have a lot in common.
Wow, yeah. Maybe even better.
Yeah. And she's also she serves on the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity as a member of the International Pentecostal Catholic Dialogue as well. So the reports that they read are super important to the movement of Christian unity. She also has an amazing book that I want to promo right now. It's called Healing, Bringing the Gift of God's Mercy into the World. It's published by Our Sunday Visitor. It is amazing. Mm. So everyone, I want you to check out this book. It's on Amazon. It's called Healing, Bringing the Gift of God's Mercy into the World. And I think that's kind of like an end point because that just came out last year. But Mary, can we start off and hear about like where you came from? We want to hear your testimony, your story.
Okay, sure. Well, my roots are Irish, and therefore I'm Catholic.
Yay!
So I grew up in a Catholic family, but we were Sunday Catholics, somewhat more or less cultural Catholics. We went to church. I think we said grace before meals sometimes, but there wasn't much more than that. But when I was 12 years old, my parents went on a retreat with the Curcio movement, and it powerfully, radically changed their lives.
Wow.
They came back different people. And as a young girl and then a teenager, I was deeply impressed by what I saw. They began to really fall in love with the Lord. They were set on fire. They would repent and ask forgiveness when they needed to. Their way of relating changed. Not that they were bad parents before, but they just became new people in the Lord. And I was really touched by that. They joined the Charismatic Renewal, and they were in a prayer group, and I came to that occasionally. I thought it was a little weird, but I knew it was God. I knew it was God. And so as I was growing up, I began to have a hunger for God and to seek Him, and I participated in Bible studies. But then when I went to college at University of Notre Dame, I didn't fall away from my faith, but I felt far from God. I didn't really know how to have a prayer life or how to sustain a relationship with God. And so I felt really distant from Him. And after I graduated, or just before I graduated, I knew the one important thing in my life was I had to find God. I needed Him. I wanted more of Him. And so I knew one place where you could definitely find God was Franciscan University of Steubenville.
Amen to that.
My younger sister was there, and I saw her life radically changed, and she was set on fire for God. Hmm. And so I decided I had to go to graduate school to be there. And they only had two graduate programs at the time. One of them I knew I didn't want to do, and the other was theology. And so I chose theology by default.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Lord has his ways.
Yeah.
So I studied theology there. I absolutely loved it. I especially loved scripture. I took a scripture course with Father Francis Martin that blew my mind. I couldn't believe how much wisdom is there and how many interconnections there are in scripture and how the Lord can give you revelation as you read his word. And so from that point on, I knew I wanted to study scripture.
Mm.
And at the same time, the Lord was doing a lot of healing in my life, and I went through the Life in the Spirit seminar. I was prayed over for baptism in the Holy Spirit. I was very shy and, hesitant to display any kind of emotion publicly, and so it actually took me months of being at the masses at Steubenville before I even raised my hands in the air to praise the Lord.
Wow.
I was kind of raised them halfway.
Yeah, I call those the dinosaur arms, like a little T-Rex.
You got it, T-Rex arms.
Mary, I have a quick question for discussion. I think a lot of our listeners, you know, they know about charismatic renewal and prayer groups and things like that. And you talked about, you know, with your parents, it was kind of, it was strange.
Yes.
Now, when I read the book of Acts, like when the Holy Spirit first shows up, it was kind of strange, right?
It was very strange.
Yeah.
They said they must be drunk. It's the only way we know how to explain it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know how that explains they don't know.
What would you say to Catholics that, you know, how would you help them get over that, like you did?
Well, I would say if you experience being with people who are passionately in love with the Lord and have had their lives turned upside down by him, have been swept off their feet by him, there's something in the human heart that responds and says, I want that. And then, as you just said, when we read the New Testament, especially Acts of the Apostles and the Gospels, we begin to realize what we consider normal is not the normal Christian life.
Mm.
You know, we take what's average now, and then we measure the Word of God by it. But instead, we need to read the Word of God and measure our life by it and realize that what's average and what we consider normal because it's all we've known is actually not normal. What's normal is to be fully alive in God. What's normal is to be walking with him every day, walking in the Spirit, knowing his love for us, knowing he has opened heaven for us and he's pouring down graces day after day. You know, that's normal. I started gradually coming into normal, and normal looks weird at first because we're so unused to it, but it's wonderful.
So what Mary's trying to say is get over yourself.
Yeah,
get into God.
Yes.
Get out of your mind. Get into God's mind.
I think that's beautiful.
Amen.
I think we need to start it. Understanding that what we do in our faith is not the weird, like, that's not weird. Like,
yeah.
What the world, right now, the world is weird.
Yeah,
like,
the world's weird. I want to go to heaven.
Yeah.
That should be normal. That's awesome. So, Mary.
That's it.
So, let's go back to your story. So, you're at, experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're putting your hands up in mass. Okay, so keep going.
I started praying in tongues. I started doing it only when I was in a large group and everybody else was praising God so loud that nobody could hear me, and kind of slowly grew into that gift. And I found that gift of praying in tongues as really a doorway to other gifts because it teaches you to surrender to the Holy Spirit.
That's really good.
And
I was terrified
of speaking in tongues at first because it's kind of a letting go.
Can you teach on that? I just talked to a priest who said that tongues were only foreign languages, but, you know, Paul talks about human and angelic tongues. Can you explain the difference there?
Yes. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, we see that on the day of Pentecost, the phenomenon of tongues was one where people were understanding human languages that the speakers did not know. So they were speaking by the Spirit in all these foreign languages that they could not have known. And the crowd that gathered were understanding them. But that was a relatively rare one-time event on that birthday of the church when the Holy Spirit came in power. But that is clearly different from the kind of tongues that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14, where he talks about the tongues of men and angels in chapter 13, and then he talks about praying in tongues without your mind understanding it.
Mm.
So, and he speaks about unbelievers coming in and hearing people praying in tongues and thinking they're crazy. So, clearly there is a gift of tongues. It's the more common, by far, gift of tongues, where you're not speaking in a known human language, but it's a prayer language that is, it's nonverbal. It is lifting up your heart and your voice to God in sounds that are not linguistic words, but that come from a heart overflowing with praise.
That's awesome.
And in fact, when we read the fathers of the church, many of the fathers, particularly Augustine, talk about something they call jubilation, the jubilus, which is the joyful praising of God aloud but without words. And St. Augustine exhorts his congregation to praise God that way. He says, if you can't find the words, jubilate.
Jubilate.
Praise aloud without words. And that's nothing other than what we today call the gift of tongues. It's the gift of tongues as Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians 14.
That's okay. Thank you so much for that teaching. I feel like we needed to hear that, Dan.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah, Mary, if people want to, you know, I feel like a lot of times we can talk about these things, and you were prayed over for an outpouring of the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you were in that context of the Steubenville community that was helping foster those gifts. What if a listener wants to receive gifts and they don't know where to go?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, the first thing I would say is pray perseveringly. Just begin to make it a daily prayer intention that you're fervently asking God, Lord, I hear this, I want it, I want more, but I don't know where to find it. Show me where to find it, mm-hmm. Oh Lord. And He will lead you. If you keep praying that way, He will not let you down. And then secondly, I would say, look for groups. There are groups everywhere. There are charismatic prayer groups. There are healing masses where you can find these gifts expressed. There are charismatic communities. There are conferences. And you can go online. You can look for the Life in the Spirit seminar. There's a video series of the Life in the Spirit seminar put out by Renewal Ministries, which is very good. And if you keep looking, you will find Catholics who exercise these gifts and know how to impart these gifts to others.
Awesome.
Yeah, when you said, earlier in your testimony, you said that you asked the question, where can I find God? And you thought of Steubenville. I thought to myself,
yeah.
Man, I wish when people asked that question, it wasn't just one location they could think of. But like when that question was asked,
yeah.
We could say, man, every city or so many cities around our country, that's where I can find the Holy Spirit, that's where I can be lit on fire. And I just pray right now that we would have more places where the Spirit is alive, more cities, more campuses, more arenas where people know they can find
more camps.
The living God. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
This is
Amen.
Good. Okay, so you receive that prayer language. You're starting to exercise it. It's a gateway. What happened next?
It's a gateway to other gifts. And I very slowly, every once in a while, began experiencing the gift of prophecy. I learned to pray over people for healing. I didn't see any major healings at that point in my life. And the next big thing that the Lord did in me is that He brought me to a much deeper surrender. And He did that by, He put a desire in my heart to study Scripture on the graduate level, get a doctorate in Scripture. And I pursued that, got all my plans together. I was going to go to Rome, study there. And there came a day when the Lord pulled the rug out from under my feet.
Uh-oh.
And all the plans fell apart. The place I was going to study, the housing I had, everything kind of all together fell apart. And I was so confused by that. And I said, Lord, I thought You were calling me to go to Rome and get a doctorate in Scripture. And I was talking to a priest at the time, and I said, you know, all the doors opened up, and so I thought this was God's will. And he said, so you mean if a door opens up, you just walk through it without really discerning whether this is what God wants for you? And I was really cut to the heart by that. I said, oh, maybe not. And then I had to think of an alternative, and the viable alternative was for me to study first at Catholic University in Washington and to live with a charismatic community there. And I didn't really want to do that. It wasn't my plan. It wasn't on the script that I had written.
Mm-hmm.
And yet something drew me to it at the same time. And I finally felt so confused and spiritually sort of under attack. I went into the room where I was staying at that time, and I closed the door, and I said, Lord, I'm not going to leave this room until you do something. I'm desperate. I feel like I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I don't know what you want. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I began to pray, and I prayed and prayed and prayed. And finally, after about 6 hours of praying, I started to think, I think there's a way that I haven't really trusted God with my life.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a way that the bottom line for me has always been what makes sense to me. And I guess I haven't fully trusted God even with things that don't make sense to me, and I guess I need to repent for that. And so I began to repent for that, and I began to say, okay, Lord, my life is your life. My spirituality is your spirituality. My future is your future. And everything I could think of, I just completely surrendered to the Lord. And it really felt like jumping off a cliff. It really felt scary, like I was just letting go of myself. And yet, after I did that, this tremendous peace came over me. And I just experienced the presence of the Lord like I never had before.
This is like, I'm seeing Luke 1, like Mary and the angel.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, then the Holy Spirit overshadows her. And your name is Mary. Come on, Lord. Yeah, you're so good, Lord. Keep going, Mary.
Yeah. So at that point, I left the room and I was ready to do whatever the Lord wanted. And I did, over the next few weeks, discern that he wanted me to come and live in Maryland at a charismatic community called Mother of God Community, and not yet to go to Rome, but I spent time studying at Catholic University. And while I was there, I grew so much in the Lord, and the gospel became so much more deeply rooted in my life, and I began to experience what it means that we really have died with Christ in baptism. We really have been buried with him. The old self is dead. And I had to begin to understand how the Lord works the cross into my life. Mm. You know, as I was living in a household with other young women and, you know, the typical clashes of personality and all that, we were having to repent to each other and forgive and forbear and grow in the Lord together. I was experiencing on a much deeper level than I ever had before the power of the cross and of the blood of Jesus in my life, and the power of the Holy Spirit that is meant to be a normal part of our life. So I treasure those years. It was just a complete gift from God that he stopped me in my tracks from the way I was going and brought me there so that he could root the gospel much more deeply in my life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. So then, you went from, where did you go from there? When did you end up getting to Rome?
I was there 6 years after we had a time of difficulty in the community, and then I discerned that it was time to go finish my studies. And so I did, lived in Austria for a while and then Rome, and finished my doctorate in 2000 in Rome, and came back and served in the community and leadership for a while. And that was a great blessing. And then as my term of leadership was coming to an end, I was praying about what the Lord had for me next. And a friend of mine at Sacred Heart Major Seminary called and said, you know, have you thought about teaching here?
Wow.
So to make a long story short, here I am at Sacred Heart, and it is a wonderful, absolutely amazing place to teach.
That's
awesome.
We have
seminarians and lay students, and they are all
That's
People
awesome. Mary, that's a perfect place. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Encounter, production of St. Gabriel Radio. And when you come back, We're going to hear where Mary's story picks up, so stay tuned. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We have back with us on the show Dr. Mary Healy. And before the break, Dr. Healy, you're talking about how you went to school, you went to Franciscan University, you went to Catholic University, you were in the charismatic community, you went to the Gregorian University in Rome, and then came on the faculty at Detroit Sacred Major Seminary teaching theology. But most of the work that I know of you for and you've helped form me is your work on healing. So where did this come from?
Well, it started really about a little more than 3 years ago when several friends of mine, in fact, three different friends in three different states, kept telling me, you have to meet Randy Clark. You have to meet Randy Clark. And I knew his name. He is a Protestant charismatic Pentecostal sort of healing evangelist. And I had heard his talks once or twice on CD, but I decided to go to a conference where he was one of the main speakers. I went to that conference, and he talked about the miracles of healing that the Lord is doing in our time, not only through superstars, people who have tremendous healing gifts, but through ordinary folks, little old me, he likes to say.
Little old me.
And as I heard that, my heart was burning in me, and I just had a deep conviction, God wants this in the Catholic Church.
Amen.
This is our heritage. This is part of our inheritance, the equipment the Holy Spirit has given the Church to carry out her mission to bring Christ to the world. And you know, I knew from my study of the New Testament and church history that the gift of healing has always been present in the church, particularly in times of intense evangelization, and that it is normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this deep conviction, and I decided I have to meet him, and I did end up meeting with him and ended up going on a mission trip with him. He brings groups of people from the U.S. and other countries to the third world, especially Brazil, and other developing nations. And so I went on this two-week trip to Brazil in 2013, and it was absolutely life-changing because I saw, as we went to different churches night after night, and these churches were packed with people who were unevangelized, unsaved, you know, the people who had just been invited there because there was this healing evangelist from the U.S. that was well-known, and they came because they needed healing, and these churches were packed, and night after night, we saw miracles.
Mm, wow.
It was 2 weeks of living in the supernatural.
And you've never seen that before, right?
I had seen, you know, a few things here and there at healing masses and conferences and, you know, people I had prayed over, you know, maybe had their headache pain diminish or their stomach ache diminish.
So, you saw headaches. What did you see in Brazil?
Like, we saw, for example, he would pray from the stage for anybody who had a tumor or a cyst or cancer, stand up. We all prayed for them. And then he would command the cancer to leave in the name of Jesus. You know, he would not only pray, but speak with authority in the name of Jesus. And then he would ask anybody who had, you know, feel your tumor if it's appropriate and you can, anybody whose tumor has shrunk significantly or disappeared, wave both hands over your heads. And he did this night after night, and I turned around, we all turned around, and there'd be dozens of people.
Wow.
Dozens of people waving their hands.
Take that, cancer.
Amen.
And I remember one night, right behind me was a young girl who was one of our translators, and she was just weeping and weeping, waving her hands over her head. And I asked her, what happened? Why are you weeping? And she said, because I had a breast tumor, and the doctor said it was serious, and he would probably have to operate. And So we prayed just now, and it's gone. It's gone.
Wow. Yay, God.
And I just had a new sense of what it must have been like in New Testament times during the ministry of Jesus.
Amen.
As he was healing people, the tears, not only of the person who was healed, but the people who saw it. You can't be unmoved. You can't. You're just undone. When you see a guy running up to the stage, waving his crutches over his head and explaining how he was in a terrible motorcycle accident and there were all kinds of rods and screws in his ankles and he couldn't walk before and he's jumping up and down and he's bending down to show us he can touch his toes and tears streaming down his face. You're undone.
Wow. Oh my gosh. What was the biggest crowd that you saw?
Probably a few thousand people, 2,000 to 3,000.
Wow. I mean, the thing that is going through my mind hearing you describe Randy pray for healing is what Jesus said. He said, if you believe in me, you'll do the works that I do and greater works because I'm going to the Father. That, like, what limit do we have when Jesus says that there is no limit?
Amen.
It's so good.
And the thing is, Randy and the members of his team that I was with believed that. They really believed it. And
Amen.
The Lord came through. It doesn't mean every person we prayed for was healed by any means, but a huge number of them were healed. And
wow.
I knew that I could not step forward based on what I had seen. As St. Peter said in Acts, we cannot but tell what we have heard and seen. And right after this Brazil trip, I was scheduled to speak at a Catholic conference in the Middle East. And I knew that I had to take a step in faith based on what I had seen. Sort of like, you know how Elisha, before the prophet Elijah was taken up to heaven in a fiery chariot?
Uh-huh.
Elijah said, ask of me what you will before I am taken from you. He said, I want a double portion of your spirit.
Yeah.
And Elijah said, what you have asked for is not easy. Nevertheless, if you see me as I am taken up, you will receive it. And sure enough, he sees him as he's taken up, so he knows he's gotten his spirit. But then the key is the next thing that Elisha does is he takes a step in faith. He does exactly what he had seen Elijah do. He takes his mantle, strikes the Jordan River, and it parts. And he walks across it on dry land.
Hmm.
And all the other prophets are watching. So he did a bold step in faith. So I knew I had to do something like that. And at this Catholic conference in the Middle East that I went to, after my talk, I asked people with certain conditions to stand up. And I did several conditions at a time, including cancer and tumors and deafness, blindness, arthritis, all kinds of joint conditions. So I went through this process maybe 3 or 4 times, had them stand up, had everybody else pray over them. I explained, it's not me. It's not that I have any special gift. It's that the Lord's will is to use us to heal. So we all prayed. And then at the end, I said, anybody who has experienced a significant healing, 80% or more, wave your hands. And I looked out, and dozens of people were waving their hands.
Wow. And they weren't at the Randy Clark conference with you, were they?
No.
This just you just brought it with you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Amen.
Wait,
amen.
Did Randy pray for you at some point?
Yes, he did.
He
prayed for everybody on the team.
Wow.
He prayed for an impartation of the Spirit.
Wow. Okay. So then you brought it. Okay. This is awesome.
And then the neat thing the Lord did was I had to get off the stage because the next speaker was coming up. He came up in tears. And he said, I've had partial deafness in one ear for several months, ever since I was hit by a soccer ball, and I've been really worried about it. And when you said, deaf ears open in the name of Jesus, my ear popped open.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wow. This is so good. Oh, my gosh. What kind of impact, what went through your head and your heart when that happened?
Well, I just couldn't believe it. I said, Lord, you really do it. You really do this. You really do desire to heal. We really do have authority in your name. And I knew it wasn't because of me that I have any special charism of healing myself, but I knew that the Lord wanted me to be an ambassador of him to tell people that he wants to heal through all of us.
Okay, can you
if we will just believe.
Can you teach about the the authority to heal? I know there's like the anointing, the gift of healing, but then there's like authority for healing. Can you teach our listeners about that?
Sure. When Jesus sent out his apostles, the 12 apostles, on a kind of preliminary mission while he was still in his earthly life in Galilee, he told them, go and proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But he didn't leave it at that. He didn't just say, go preach the good news in words. He said, preach it in deeds. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. And so they did, and they learned to do that on that preliminary mission. And then later, the Gospel of Luke tells us he sent out a group of 70, which is possibly all his disciples at the time, all those who had chosen to follow him and be his disciple. And so it's a prelude to the mission of all the faithful. And he tells them the same thing, heal the sick. Again, preach the gospel, not only in word, but in deed, because evangelizing is not just giving a message. It's communicating divine life and power. And people need to hear it not only in words, but to see it, to experience it, even to feel it in their bodies or to witness it, the power of the Lord in the bodies of others.
I got a scripture for our listeners. First Corinthians 2, 5, and 6. It's my preaching, my message were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and power.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Exactly.
So, amen. Dr. Healy, could you, those who are listening, or maybe they feel like they want to have this power, but they don't feel like they're equipped for it. How can, like, I think there's a lot of hunger out there in our audience, and they probably are hearing, and they're like, yeah, I want that. I want that to be part of my ordinary life, but can I, what makes, are you, or is Randy Clark, what, are you different, or are you the same as us, right?
I am not different, I assure you. One of the things that the New Testament makes clear, and this is also taught in Catholic tradition, is that doing miracles or healings in the name of Jesus is no proof whatsoever that you are a saint, that you are exceptionally holy. In fact, to draw that conclusion is a grave, grave mistake. And we tend way too easily to draw that conclusion, and we also draw the opposite conclusion. I'm not a saint, and therefore it would be presumptuous of me to pray and expect miracles or expect healings. So that is a really misguided point of view.
That's such a good distinction.
So in my book, I give several keys for growing in these gifts and growing in walking in the Spirit, the normal Christian life. And very simply, intimacy with the Lord is the primary thing. We can't do the works he did if we don't know him and live as he did in total communion with the Father, abiding in him, loving him. And so doing everything we can to pursue a deep friendship with Jesus, praying every day, reading his word every day, especially the Gospels, not only the readings we get at Mass, because those only give us a small percentage of what's in the Bible, but reading continually, a whole book through, like the Gospel of Luke, for example, worshiping him in Eucharistic adoration, being with other believers who will sharpen us, cause us to really grow in the Spirit, all those ways of becoming intimate with him. And then the second thing I would say is asking, seeking, and knocking. It's not bad to ask for gifts to be manifested to us. It's actually commanded in Scripture.
Well, hold on, Mary, because I hear...
earnestly desire the spiritual gifts.
Well, I hear a lot of people say, like, don't seek the gifts of the giver, seek the giver of the gifts. So that's not completely right.
That is actually not a biblical saying. Now, there's partial truth in that. You know?
How do I say this?
How do I say it?
What do you mean by that?
It's not an either or. It's not an either or. Yes, of course, we seek the giver first. Yes, of course. Our heart's desire has to be him first. But Scripture does not tell us not to seek the gifts, just the opposite. We seek the gifts precisely because those gifts of the Spirit are not for us. They are for the person the Lord wants to reach through us.
So good.
Strive eagerly for the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
They are gifts for the building up of the body. So it's a false dichotomy to say seek the giver, but don't seek the gift.
So what you're saying is we're Catholic and we're both and?
Exactly.
Freeing.
You know, exactly. It's Catholic.
I think another dimension there is that a lot of times I've noticed that people are just afraid to ask for healing, or they feel like, I think they're afraid for two reasons. Number one, I think we've kind of convinced ourselves that Jesus doesn't want to heal our physical afflictions anymore. He just wants to heal our spiritual afflictions. And so we have a lot of Catholics seem to have a lot of faith that the Lord can heal a person through conversion, and they can bring
confession.
And all of this conversion grace can come. But then they don't actually have the faith that the Lord is still wants to heal the physical affliction. And then I think the other thing is people are just generally scared to ask for healing because if I ask for grace of conversion, it could be a slow grace, right? Intangible grace. But if I ask for healing of an affliction of the back and then I don't get it, then I feel like, oh, well, God let me down, right? So Mary, have you ever prayed with people and they've put themselves out there, they've asked for healing and they didn't receive the physical healing that they asked for? And if so, then how do you care for them after that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And yes, certainly, very often I've prayed for people and not seen an immediate healing. And I explain to them, well, first of all, before I pray for people, it's very clear that I'm not giving anybody a guarantee that they're going to be healed on the spot. That if only their faith is strong enough, or if only my faith is strong enough, they're guaranteed to get healed. Because that would be false. Mm-hmm. That would be setting them up for a possible disappointment. But rather, I explain to the degree that's possible the Lord's love for them, the fact that he bore all their sins and all their infirmities in his own body on the cross, and how he wants for them the fullness of life. And I pray for them. Very often there are obstacles in the person that have to be addressed. Sometimes it's unforgiveness is the biggest obstacle of all. Sometimes it's a sense of unworthiness, or as you said, this underlying feeling that God wants me to suffer, or I need to suffer in order to be purified or to be strengthened. And again, it's a partial truth, but a profound misunderstanding, because it's really a false dichotomy that either God heals people spiritually either God heals people physically or he allows them to suffer to bring them to conversion. But in fact, God heals the whole person. Ultimately, his desire is to heal us soul and body, raise us up to eternal life with him. And he cares for our physical bodies. We show that in Catholic tradition by all the ways that we care for the sick, all the hospitals, the hospices, the orphanages, the homeless shelters, all the ways we care for people's bodies, because we realize that doesn't contradict the fact that God cares for their souls and that he wants for them eternal life. No, we try to alleviate suffering because we recognize that suffering is an objective evil. We recognize it's not of God. God never wills suffering directly. He can't, because he's all good, and suffering is an objective evil. Now, he's able to bring good out of every evil. He's able to bring good out of all our suffering. He is able to use it to purify us and make us, chisel us into the saints that he wants us to be. But we should never take that as an obstacle to our prayer for healing, because God also works mighty, mighty miracles of conversion precisely by healing a person's body.
Mm-hmm. And not just for that person, but for other people too, right?
Yes, for other people, for those who hear about it or witness it, and their faith is brought to a whole new level.
I mean, your entire healing ministry was started because of the faith of Randy Clark and the work that the Lord was doing through those. So it launches a deeper mission.
And I've met so many people that just have, there was a young girl who actually was losing faith in God, and then she witnessed someone getting healed out of a wheelchair, and that she repented of doubt and unbelief, and it brought her a spark for her to make that personal reconnection with the Lord. So this is how Jesus grew you know, the gospel, right? Like, the kingdom of God is at hand, yeah. And get up, you know, you're healed. Whoa. And then everyone gets blown away. We're going to actually go to a break right now. Dan, we're going to bring Mary back. Okay. And Mary, we're going to ask you a few more hard questions because I feel like our sure. listeners are getting their theology is getting wrecked a little bit for some people. And we're going to build that back up. I want to hear a few more stories because I love stories. So you're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. And when we come back, we'll have Mary back on the show. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them to lives of extraordinary mission. We're back with Dr. Healy, and Dr. Healy had this life-changing encounter of seeing like gospel, biblical miracles happening in front of her eyes that just launched her into a new level of faith. So, Mary, we're talking about, you know, what if people don't get healed, redemptive suffering, how that all fits with our Catholic theology. It's part of our heritage, getting beyond some of the roadblocks that we've unnecessarily built. But one of the things I hear, and I just heard recently, is people will say, well, I pray for healing, but I don't pray, you know, I don't like pray with authority. I pray, God, if it's your will to heal this person, please do so. What do you think about that?
Well, I actually think on one level, it's inspired by devotion and piety, but I do think it is a mistaken way to pray, because that phrase, if it be your will, works as a kind of escape clause. Almost, it can be a kind of cop-out. In case my faith isn't strong enough and nothing is going to happen, I can attribute it to the fact that God just didn't want to heal this person. I think instead we should take for granted that, of course, we only desire God's will. He will be the one to decide whether he's going to heal that person on the spot or not. But there's a way that to not use that phrase, it causes us to have to risk a little more, mm-hmm. to step out in faith a little more, and to speak against that illness that is bringing down that person's life, harming that person's ability to live the fullness of life that God intended, with authority. The Lord wants us to speak with great authority. Now, I think there's a sense in which we can say, as long as we're understanding this properly, God's will is always to heal.
Wow. Can you say that again? God's will is always to heal. Okay.
It's always to heal, in that ultimately his deep desire for every human being, the desire that cost him the life of his only son, is to heal us totally, body and soul, and bring us into resurrected life. The fullness of life with him in heaven. Now, he doesn't always do it immediately, and there can be a number of reasons for it. One of the reasons can be a lack of faith. Another reason can be obstacles within the person. There can be a deep sense of unworthiness that I know God can't heal me, I'm not worthy. There can, on the other hand, be a sense of entitlement. God ought to heal me, I deserve it, because XYZ, I've come to church every week, I've contributed, I've volunteered for this or that. I've dealt with this difficult spouse. Whatever it might be, some people think they're worthy. And for God to heal that person at that moment would actually do more harm to them spiritually than the physical healing would do them good.
Wow.
So there can be a whole variety of reasons why there has to be an inner healing first.
Dr. Healy, is it possible that the person could have sufficient faith and the obstacles could have been repented from and no lack of forgiveness and yet healing not to still come in that moment?
Yes, because I think we have no idea what obstacles there are or what the Lord may be working on levels beyond what we can see. And there's one other reason, and that is some people freely choose to offer their suffering as a sacrifice of praise. They know that their suffering has great power when joined to the sufferings of Christ in loving union with him. And they're offering it in intercessory prayer for others, and they don't desire any longer to be healed. Now, I would say unless and until the person has come to that point, there's no reason to stop asking for healing. Mm-hmm. Or unless it's clear that the person is on the point of leaving this world to go and meet the Lord, that would be another reason to stop praying. Or, you know, when the Lord gives you a peace that you don't need to pray for healing anymore. Until that point, I would continue to pray for healing. And even if you don't see anything happening on the physical level, the Lord may be slowly, gradually removing the obstacles and preparing the way and healing on inner levels and doing all that he needs to do in preparation for a physical healing. And very often it will come through a combination of medical means as well as spiritual means.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord has so many ways of healing beyond just the immediate kind of miraculous healing that we would love to see every time, but it's not his will to do that every time.
What are some, I mean, you described the conference, okay, and the conference that you were at, but do you have stories of people just on the street or in normal daily life that are making an impact in healing?
Sure. I have lots of great stories that friends of mine gave me for my book, and one of them that I love is a doctor friend of mine who, he's a retired doctor, and the Lord had used him to heal people medically for many years, but he had never seen a miracle. He just began praying every day, "Oh Lord, let everyone around me become more aware of you wherever I am."
Amen.
And
that's a good prayer.
He prayed that every day. He didn't want to draw people's attention to him. Just he wanted to draw people's attention to the Lord. And he said, "Lord, even if I'm on the elevator with people, strangers, let them be drawn to you." And then one day the chief nurse came to him and she said, "There's this other nurse who was just diagnosed with a brain tumor, and she would like you to pray over her for healing." And he said, "Me? Why?" And the other nurse came to him and he said, "Why do you want me to pray for you? I've never met you." And she said, "Well, I was on the elevator with you and I looked into your eyes and I knew you were the one to pray for me."
Wow.
Come on.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus
and
eyes.
So he actually evangelized her on the spot. He talked to her about Jesus. It turned out she was a fallen away Catholic. She didn't practice her faith. But she said, "I have young kids and I don't want to die." And he led her in a prayer to give her life to the Lord. And he prayed over her to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he prayed for the brain tumor. And he said, "You know, I had kind of zero faith because I'd never prayed and seen a miracle." And the next day she went to get a test to determine if the brain tumor was cancerous. And they found no tumor at all.
Amen. Wow. That's just amazing.
Just an ordinary guy, just praying that way faithfully, and look what the Lord did.
Wow, mm-hmm. And she had young children. I mean, that brings up another thing, too. Like, I think we assume sometimes that everyone that dies because God wanted them to die. That was their time. But, like, I don't know, the fact that Jesus raised people from the dead kind of goes against that, too. And the same thing with sickness, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Again, I think we too easily, we've taken on the mentality that sickness and infirmity, disease, are things that we should just be resigned to. And we have this false idea of resignation. Resignation, in the best of Catholic tradition, doesn't mean this kind of just grit your teeth and grin and bear it because God has willed this awful thing to happen to you. No, it's that we love the Lord and we know that he desires our greatest good, and therefore our first reaction on encountering illness, sickness, disease of every kind is to fight it in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
In the grace of God, and know that he fights against it with us, and to do so by persevering prayer and taking authority. And if we don't see an immediate change, we keep praying in confidence, asking the Lord to show us how to pray, surrendering to him, and he will eventually either heal the person or bring them home to him because it was his will and his time that they go.
Keep knocking on that door.
He'll bring them to that place of a really beautiful, redemptive, and peace-filled offering of their suffering in union with him.
That's so good.
That God would want people to just labor under their suffering and just be crushed by it and have their lives draining away from them, that is false.
Now, Mary, we only have a few minutes left. Can you tell us about the book? What can our listeners get from your book? Can they learn how to pray for healing and be effective?
Yes, absolutely. They I have some wonderful stories in it, as I said, just ordinary folks that the Lord uses to do extraordinary things, because that is his call for all of us. We need to take up that challenge. So I really try to challenge people. This is part of the new evangelization. This is the equipment the Holy Spirit has given his church. It's time for us to take it up.
Amen.
I talk about how the scripture reveals our call to heal in the name of Jesus, how significant healing was in the evangelization in the early centuries, in the patristic era, the era of the fathers, and then through the rest of church history. And then I talk about the hard questions, you know, what happens when somebody doesn't get healed? What about redemptive suffering? What about the role of the saints and the role of the sacraments? And then how to actually begin and how to maybe get a healing ministry started in your parish if you're interested in doing that.
That's what I'm talking about. If your heart's burning, just do it. Buy her book and then get started.
Yeah, if there's some people convicted in the audience, I think a lot of times many of us have faith that we're called to this kind of ministry, but we are scared to take that first step. So we pray, Lord, that you would cast aside any fear that's residing in our hearts right now.
Amen. And the book, Amen. Once again, is called Healing, Bringing the Gift of God's Mercy to the World by Dr. Mary Healy. Just go on Amazon. It's like $14, super cheap. Just pick it up. It's on Amazon Prime, Healing, Bringing the Gift of God's Mercy to the World. Mary, we have 2 minutes left. Can you pray for our listeners? And you can just pray for anything. If you want to pray for that gifting to start to flow, or if there's any conditions that come to your mind, can you just go for it and bless us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, our God, we thank you for the mighty work you're doing in your church right now. You are awakening in us an understanding of what you have given your church from the beginning. Oh, Lord, the command to proclaim the good news of the kingdom and to demonstrate it with signs and wonders. And so I pray, Lord, for everyone who is listening right now, that you would begin to make their hearts burn with the desire to be your ambassadors to the sick, the broken, the lost, the confused, the downtrodden, to the hopeless, to those who think you've abandoned them. Lord, I pray that your gift of healing would be imparted right now to those who are listening. Oh, Lord, that they would have such a faith, that they would be willing to take steps in faith, even at risk to themselves of looking foolish or not seeing anything happen right away. Oh, Lord, we're willing to be fools for you. And I pray, Lord, that you would also heal any of the listeners who need healing right now. Lord, I pray for blood conditions. I pray for any of those who have diabetes, any who have arthritis or joint conditions causing them a lot of pain, keeping them from serving and going out in the way you're calling to them to do. I pray in the name of Jesus, blood be healed.
Amen.
Pancreas function normally in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Joints be healed. All inflammations go down, disappear, leave their bodies in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, I pray for healing of vision and hearing problems. I pray, O Lord, for healing of stomach and digestive problems. I pray, Lord Jesus, that your kingdom power would flow into everyone listening right now.
Amen.
They would come to know in a whole new way the loving desire of their Heavenly Father, Papa, Abba, Father, for them to have the fullness of life, that they would surrender more deeply, and that they would learn to walk more and more in your Holy Spirit. I pray in the holy name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on Encounter. On behalf of Patrick and I, we pray that you will have the grace to receive and respond to every divine encounter that God brings to you today.
Amen.
We'll see you next time.